Welcome to each of you who are Parkinson's Recovery members to this October 2017 support group gathering. As is our custom, I'm going to provide an update on what's been happening here at Parkinson's Recovery during the month of October 2017. And then I'm going to check in with each of you to find out what's up, what reports do you have for us, if any. And don't forget, if you're here just to listen, just give me a heads up and we'll go on to the next person. Thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, a short question, and that is, so, quote, taking CoQ10 takes away the free radicals caused by Parkinson's medications. Will this improve the symptoms of Parkinson's or make the medications last longer? I actually don't know for sure, and I suspect it will depend on the person's body and what the factors are that are causing the symptoms. I do know this. I do know that taking the medications, research indicates, does produce excessive free radicals. It is critical that everyone who's taking medicines be attentive and serious about taking antioxidants that can keep those free radicals under control. Now, in the actual question, the question states takes away the free radicals. Well, unfortunately, nothing will take away all of the free radicals. There are always going to be some in our body. But what you want to do is to keep the free radicals under control. So a focus on Parkinson's symptoms or a focus on whether medications can last longer is really a small part of what can actually happen if you've got free radicals that are ravaging in your body. It can create all sorts of health problems unrelated to any symptoms associated with Parkinson's. It is, in my view, critical that free radicals need to be taken seriously. So here we are talking about free radicals like CoQ10. The question was prompted by my discovery just last month of a source of CoQ10 that has a backup of about 75 studies that show that their absorption rate was excellent. It was better than any CoQ10 product on the marketplace. And so we were basically suggesting, I think you can pay a whole lot less for CoQ10 from this source, which is actually a Dutch company, than just going out to get CoQ10 from pretty much any other source. Some of the high price CoQ10 does have higher absorption rates, but the pharma cord company, again, the Dutch company, their absorption rates are just off the charts. And so it's a great deal. You don't have to take as much, and so it's much more cost effective. Second important in a report is, I think this month of October, I've been able to uncover some possible treatments and therapies that show wonderful promise. I have to say, over the last 12 years, this is probably the most exciting month of all in terms of interviews that I've conducted on Parkinson's Recovery Radio. Now, the interviews are three in number, and two of them focus on light therapies for Parkinson's, a brand new topic for me, and I know you too. One of them focused on nutrition and diet. So first, focusing on my most recent interview conducted last week with Warren Kramer from Macrobiotics New England. Now, all of this information is captured and summarized in detail on your member pages. So if you'll check in on that page listed updates from Robert, what you'll notice is that I've got a nice discussion of what Warren had to contribute in that particular interview. There's also a very rich discussion that I have written up about each of the two light therapies that we learned more about this month, and also a comparison of the two. And again, you'll find all of that information on updates from Robert. The radio show interviews are, of course, also available and accessible on the radio show page, available again on your member website pages. Don't forget, there are 12 different pages offering all sorts of wonderful resources. I spent a number of hours yesterday updating a number of the pages just for this coming week. meditations this week are quite interesting in the sense that what I created were ways of clearing out dark energy. So I think you'll find all of that to be quite interesting. And I was inspired to create those kinds of meditations for you this week because of the light therapy interviews. Why am I excited about light therapy? A vast majority of individuals who have been diagnosed with Parkinson's elect to pursue medications as a treatment. We know that it is a potential way to suppress symptoms. And we also know that at least 40%, perhaps more, of the individuals get welcome relief from taking medicines. So symptoms are flaring up, they take the medicines, and the symptoms become very manageable for a few hours. We also know that over time, and this particular length of time varies considerably across individuals, the medications have to be increased by dose, increased, and then finally there's a point where the neurologist, where the healthcare professionals will not increase it anymore because it just creates havoc with side effects. And so the perplexing challenge for a number of individuals who are taking medications is, well, what in the world do you do at that point? Medications work for a while, now they're not working, you're feeling sicker because of the side effects of the high doses you're taking, so what's the next step? Well, of course, I've offered all kind of support services and natural methods and supplements and ideas. That's what we've done for the last 12 years. And so clearly there's some options out there. But I've always looked for something that might provide a way for people to get relief from symptoms in conjunction with taking medicines so that they don't have to continuously increase their medications. It may be, and please note that the word that I just used was may, because we don't have any hard evidence of this, that for some people, and perhaps many people, doing light therapy of one type or another might just provide that wonderful solution to that particular problem. We don't know yet, and yet I'm thinking that maybe that's a resource, that's a therapy that might really do the trick. So please take some time on behalf of yourself and your family to listen to both of those interviews about light therapy. One of them basically is a therapy that you can acquire directly from the inventor that is actually located in Toronto, Canada. And they have this light therapy device. It's a little helmet that you put on your head and then something that you kind of clip onto your nose. You get a treatment for about 20 minutes every day. It may be too much to do it every day, so for some people they may have to do it every other day or even every 3 days. And then basically over a period of time, the idea is that some of the clutter and problems in the neural networks are cleared out and the symptoms are hopefully alleviated and reduced. It's not a permanent fix by any means. The inventor made it very clear that it's very similar to medications in that it's not going to last over the long run. And yet, hey, if you can get something like this and just for 20 minutes a day at night while you're going to sleep, use this, it seems to me, and then be able to take no more medicines or maybe even reduce your medicines, that would be a wonderful contribution to the entire community of individuals diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So the one particular therapy that I was drawn to, and I bought a little device for my daughter for her to use, and she's just begun to use it here this week. The device that I'm encouraging people to consider is called Violight, V-I-E-L-I-G-H-T, the gamma unit. The drawback of that is it's expensive. It's about, once you put in the coupon code that the company gave me for you to use with a 10% discount, it's still about $1,600, $1,500. But still, what they've said is you get to try it out for 6 wonderful long months. And so if you don't get early results, keep at it, keep using it, And then at the end of that 6 months, if still you're not feeling as though it's providing any relief for you or your family members, you can return it for an 80% refund. So I have no hesitation to let people know about this, where, because it seems like for a very modest cost, you have the potential of finding something that might really be a companion to your recovery from the symptoms. The other advantage of that particular a device that was just invented last year, as I saw it and as I see it, is that it can be used by everybody in the family. So if there are children or grandchildren that have to take tests or exams or qualifying kinds of challenges and one type or another in colleges, and they need to be mentally sharp, it sounds to me like, from what little research has been done on this, that this really sharpens up the mental acuity, memory, being able to process information, remember information, and so it may be that it can provide some benefits to other people in the family as well. Standing at the top of what looks like is a benefit is that mental clarity. And so I believe what they're going to probably come out with is this therapy promoted initially for persons who have cognitive impairment or something like the early stages of Alzheimer's or even later stages. And, of course, mental impairment is a condition that's confronted by some individuals diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So in the end, my hope, and it's just that, it's just a hope, that some people who use this will discover that their mental abilities are all of a sudden brought literally back online. The second therapy is a laser therapy, so that's directed light. It's not diffuse. The first one is more of a diffuse light, which doesn't penetrate the skin as well, which is why you've got the little device that goes into the nose. When it goes into the nose, it doesn't have to penetrate through the skin. So that's why the light is able to move up into the tissues of the brain and the neural pathways. The laser therapy is directed light. They're both light therapies, but it's directed light. And that one is much more of a medical therapy. And so for that, if you want to pursue that one, you can look at lists that they have of people who have been qualified to use these devices in your locality. A lot of people who are using them are chiropractors. There are a small number of other medical professionals that are using them. And basically, you go to their office, they do an initial setup, which may cost several hundred dollars, and then you can go for treatments. I guess they schedule them twice a week or however often they feel is appropriate given your situation. So, of course, the cost of that can wind up adding up over time, and yet you're not committing to buy any particular device. And so that's sort of the choice. So you can go to make an appointment with somebody in your local area who does this laser light focused therapy and begin to get some initial sense of whether or not that's going to provide some relief for you or not. Or you can just go out and buy this device. They're different, obviously. The big difference for the device of the focused laser therapy is it's $11,000. I mean, it's expensive, and they're not making that device for one that will be purchased by consumers very often. They're making it to be purchased by chiropractors and other healthcare professionals that will then use it in their offices. It's also got like 10 different settings. There are different ways to actually use the device, as was explained in the interview. So it's a much more involved. The first therapy is simple. You just turn a button on, the light goes, and bingo, that's all there is to it. So they're very different in terms of what they're actually doing. The third interview that I conducted was one of the most exciting that I've actually held here over the last 12 years. It was with Warren Kramer, and the title of this particular show is Macrobiotics. I have to tell all of you who are connecting in today that I think that word for some people is a turnoff. I think some people look at that and they think, well, that's probably somebody who's selling these very expensive packages of live bacteria. I'm not interested. I'm not doing that. So unfortunately, if I look at just the number of listens to that show, which we can see on the radio show page, it's relatively small compared to a show that basically promises a therapy that's going to provide long-standing relief. But I want everybody to know, I don't care what the title is, it was an amazing interview. I was awed by the very practical and useful suggestions that Warren had for individuals diagnosed with symptoms of Parkinson's disease. He's been at this food deal and business for 30 years. Warren makes visits to a number of cities throughout the United States every year. That's basically his business. People don't come to him. He comes to you. And the little suggestions that he made were very specific. You can listen to the show, and you'll be able to come out with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different very solid, specific ideas that you can put into action. Now, he's suggested this to a number of people who have Parkinson's, and he's seen the results. He knows that they actually help. He knows that they work. He knows that they are effective. So I really just have to say, over the last 12 years of interviews, I've interviewed a number of individuals who have talked about diet, one diet or another. And if anything, some people have become a bit confused with, well, there's so many choices out there. I heard the interview with this person, that person, and this person, and which one is the right diet? So I get lots of questions from people about, well, I'm just so confused. I don't know which way to turn. And that's really understandable given the fact that you have so many people out there with so many different pitches and ideas of what would be the right nutrition for you. But Warren has a much more general approach, and so basically he's talking about what would in general be good for most individuals. So it is true that the diet for you may be very different from the diet from somebody else, but his recommendations, I think, have a generic, widespread application. So I just want to say that at the outset of our gathering today, please take about 45 minutes out of your day today and click on my interview with Warren Kramer, and take out a pencil, piece of paper. I think you're going to find several ideas in there that are going to be golden, ideas I've not heard before. And again, I just want to stress, I've been doing this a long time. I've heard a lot of ideas from a lot of people, and I don't always think to myself, boy, that's something that's really going to work. Oftentimes I think, yeah, well, I bet that's going to work for some people, but not others. But for some of his suggestions, I thought, I think that's a winner. Maybe not 100% of the people, but quite a few are going to find that's going to provide wonderful relief. So don't be put off by the title of the interview, Macrobiotics. He's not out selling anything. He's not trying to promote packages of live bacterial food or powders. That's not what the interview is all about. It's basically about good nutrition for persons diagnosed with neurological challenges. So it's on the radio show page, the full interview with additional explanation of the topics that we actually covered. So you can click on the member page there and be able to listen to that particular interview. So Warren Kramer, I interviewed him just last week. Now my final wonderful report for everyone is that I think, at least I have my fingers crossed, that I have finally recruited a functional medicine physician, an MD, to be a guest on the radio show. She contacted me over the weekend and said that she was impressed with all the work that I'd been doing, which was very much appreciated, and that she would be happy to support the endeavor in any way she could. So I invited her to be a guest on the show, and I think she's willing to do so. So we'll all learn a bit more about functional medicine, which is an approach for identifying the causes of the symptoms rather than simply suppressing the symptoms with medications. So look forward, with a little luck, we'll be able to mount that interview on the radio show page here during the coming month. It takes quite a few days and a lot of time to set those interviews up, so we don't have any promise that we'll be able to accomplish that in November, but that's my goal. And the one interview that I want to make sure to be able to pull off will be that interview. There's another courting that's been going on now for a number of months with a Tibetan healer. I bet everybody would be interested in that. And apparently he basically heals a number of persons with Parkinson's symptoms. And I've heard from some of my listeners that he's helped them. So I've recruited him. The downside of that is apparently his English is not the best. And so he's a little hesitant to go onto the radio show. But I'm still out there pumping with the possibility that he'll be willing to be a guest. Obviously, he's got a different approach, a new approach, a novel approach that is helping people. So we hope we'll be able to get him as a guest on the show as well. So now I basically want to check in here with each of you during our October support group meeting. And just as a reminder, just imagine we're kind of sitting all together in the same room. Of course, we're all over the place here in the States and Canada and other countries as well. But just imagine that physically we're all together, and so we're kind of just talking about the stories that we have to share about what's up with us, if, again, you'd like to be able to have any reports of what's going on. And by the way, those of you who have connected in, if you have questions you'd like to submit, remember there's a place on the radio show page. You can just type in, here's a topic I want to discuss, or here's a question that I have to ask, and just type that in, and I'll check those Q's and A here throughout our session and be sure to pitch the question or respond or ask other people to respond if you've got a very specific thing you need to talk about. So let me move here to the first person that I see is listed on our call-in control panel, and that's Cheryl. Hello, Cheryl. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, so just wanted to say hi and check in, see what's up.
Not too much. I'm just breathing here in Colorado.
Well, good.
Yeah, well, just listening in today. I don't really have any questions.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, so much for connecting in and calling in. It's wonderful to hear from you. So, hello, Bill. What's up?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well today. It's actually a gorgeous day here on the Puget Sound, so it makes everybody happy.
It's like Lake Wobegon, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
The only really new thing with me is last week at the behest of my neurologist, I had an MRI brain scan done.
Yeah.
And I don't have the results yet, so I can't know if they found anything or not, but do you have an opinion about the usefulness of MRI?
Well, gosh, Bill, my caveat at the outset is, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't deal with those kind of instruments. My sort of forte is, of course, all the other options. I have some personal experience not receiving one myself, but my family members, and one of my own personal concerns about it is that, of course, for a lot of those MRI treatments, they inject dye, which can challenge the kidneys in particular. And so it can create some side effects that can be harmful. So if a person is really seriously sick, it can sometimes push them into a place that's life-threatening. Now, that's unusual. Most people who, have that therapy have no problem at all. So that's a very rare situation, to be sure. The other kind of a thing I think is my own feeling about it is you're sort of waiting for the result. So what the result will show is what the current status is, and I'm guessing they're looking for some abnormalities, maybe some tumors or growths or, you know, some things there in the brain that aren't expected. And, of course, what that typically will do, if they pick up anything that's unusual, it will trigger fear. And fear, obviously, is something that's going to just feed disease and illness. And so whatever the result is, if they seem to indicate that there's something that's just not quite right, I would always just remind yourself the body can heal. You know, the body can basically address imbalances. And so if there is a little growth or some kind of abrasion or, you know, whatever might be picked up, the body can oftentimes isolate that. And if basically some neural networks have been damaged for any reason, the body can create new neural networks, you know, over time. And so, you know, it's like my same theme is, if there has been some kind of threat to the body, then, gosh, the body can renew itself in one way or another. So, of course, for any kind of a diagnosis of Parkinson's, an MRI is not going to tell you very much, as I think most medical doctors have told me who I've interviewed. They do have something called a DAT scan that appears to pick up more the presence of the cells that actually make dopamine. And so that's sometimes used as a slightly more definitive indicator of Parkinson's, but it's not definitive. So the MRI is just basically something that sort of does a general check to see if there's any indication of, you know, any particular issues that might be present. So it can be very helpful. It can inform some therapies that can be very useful. So it's not as if it's a good or a bad thing. It's just something that can sometimes generate some useful therapies for you. But again, I just want to say if there's anything that comes up where they say, well, we have found, you know, there's this thing up here, and they show you the picture, and it looks like there's some kind of black or white spot or whatever, I wouldn't go into fear. The body's just able to do miraculous things. And, of course, the other good news is, and one of the good reasons to get that kind of therapy is, if there's some kind of a growth that does not need to be there, and it may be creating issues with balance, let's say, or mobility, it's possible they could do some surgery and be able to repair that. So, you know, there's always the good news that there may be some therapies that would really be successful. So you're just getting my biased report, Bill.
That's what I wanted to get.
I have to say, it's not an even-handed unbiased kind of a sense of, you know, what that kind of diagnostic does. In terms of what my preference is, and again, this is just a personal preference, is I really am drawn holistically to the assessments that are more holistic rather than specific. So I like this idea of something like, for example, voice analysis, which I'm just fascinated by. You can pick up frequencies in the voice, and that tells what's out of balance in the body. Or you can pick up the frequencies in the saliva, and that tells everything that's out of balance in the body. Hair analysis can be useful. It's not quite as informative as some of these other holistic assessments. So there are other kind of assessments where I'm trying to get interviews with people who know about this new technology. You can sort of put your hand in this cradle, and you connect it to a computer, and then you go into this computer system, and then the computer system picks up all sorts of holistic issues that may be meriting some attention, you know, some deficiencies in vitamins or minerals or some kind of things that need to be addressed. So I personally, instead of the diagnostics that specifically look at a specific location in the body, and that MRI would fall into that, I like the diagnostics that, again, are holistic in the sense that they pick up everything that's going on in the body. So the one that I've pursued in my life, it's been now about 15 years, was one I was drawn to, and I couldn't imagine this thing would work, but it's a saliva sample. It's called bioenergetic assessment. And my doctor, who's a naturopath doctor, basically I sent a spit sample into her, and then she picks up all the frequencies, and then she can put a long readout of everything that's out of balance and then make recommendations of some therapies that would be appropriate for my body. So for me, and this is just my personal preference, I like that approach because instead of looking at the small picture, you know, a small kind of a question, it looks at everything. But then again, that's compatible with who I am as a person. I'm a big picture person. I love to look at the big picture and not the specifics. And so that calls to, you know, who I've always been as an individual.
Yeah, it's just my feeling. The reason why I went along with it was that, I mean, we know Parkinson's is centered in the brain, and I've had some falls and some head injuries even before I had Parkinson's. So.
So there might be something going on up there that needs to be examined. I think that was a smart move, Bill.
Yeah, and as I said, I don't have the results yet. I don't know whether they have a person at the lab interpret it, or they just send it to the neurologist and they interpret it, or what. But I'll know by the next month. I'll certainly know.
I'm pretty sure, unless the procedure has changed, that they have doctors that are specialists in reading the MRIs. So the neurologist is not a specialist in that. So the reader will look at the picture, and they'll write up a detailed report, and that's what the neurologist gets.
That's so, what I is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. The neurologist, you know, they don't have time to do that anyway, so they specialize, the people specialize in how to read those charts, which is a good thing because they really know where to look and, you know how to make sense out of whatever the reading is.
Yeah, it's kind of an unpleasant procedure if anyone else is contemplating it. It's not painful, but if you're the least bit claustrophobic, being motionless in this coffin-like machine is not fun.
Right, and it makes a lot of noise, too.
Makes a whole bunch of noise.
Yeah, almost scary. So, but it does give these incredible pictures. So it gives a lot of physical information to people about what's going on. So, well, it seems like to me, given that you've had some concerns, there might have been some injuries there, it seems like that was a really good thing to do.
Yeah, and you mentioned the contrast dye that they inject. I was not thrilled with that either, but they kind of twisted my arm that, you know, they take some without the dye and then with, and then...
Right. Well, how long ago was it that you had the MRI? Last week or a couple of weeks?
Yeah, last Thursday, so it's been, 4 days?
And so you didn't get really sick afterward?
No.
Oh, it sounds like you're going to be fine. You could just, drink extra water to flush out the kidneys. And I suppose it's possible maybe a little kidney flush might be something you could do to just get them out a little quicker. But it sounds like your body is just functioning just fine, and you're going to be good to go. The people who have challenges are the people who have critical illness. You know, their system is already not functioning well. Their kidneys are compromised. And when you put that dye in, the kidneys can crash and the person can get pretty seriously ill. But in your case, it was fine. I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Yeah. So we'll see if it was worth it or not. I guess I just assume that, you know, the doctors have such, the tools they have to deal with Parkinson's are so limited that they just want to use what they have, whether they really need to or not.
That's really true. And, you know, you have to acknowledge the people who do the work. I mean, just imagine doing work and you know that you don't have much to offer. It's very frustrating for all the neurologists who have to try to help people. And some people do get some relief, at least temporarily. So that's a relief that they've been able to provide some support to some, but for many it doesn't happen, and so it's pretty discouraging. And of course, no definitive diagnosis at all, never will be. So it can be really, I think, frustrating for folks that are in that specialty.
Yeah, I don't really know why people are drawn to neurology, because it's groping in the dark for them as well as the patient.
It really is. It takes a special person, I think, who's willing to get into that business and realize, boy, I'm not going to help many, but at least maybe if I can help some people, it'll be worth it. But I really want to say I'm hopeful, and have said this over and over again, that the medicine of the future is not going to be the medicines that they've had to rely on in the past, but rather they're going to grapple toward the light therapies and the sound therapies. That's my hope. And that's why I'm so excited about the new inventions that have just come out using light therapy or laser therapy, so we can get some evidence on that. I doubt very much that it would help 100% of the people, but if it helps just 40% or 50% of the people, that would be quite wonderful. So I'm hopeful that the light therapy is going to be something that it'll take 10 or 15 years for the studies to be done and for it to sort of be introduced into the medical system. But if that were the case, the neurologist will have more tools to be able to really help people in a substantial way.
Yeah, because it really does seem like they've come up against a dead end with pharmaceutical drugs.
I think so, too. They've been working on it 50 years. Sentiment was the last one, and that was in the 60s, which has provided some relief. And my logical conclusion, speaking as a researcher, is they're looking in the wrong place. You're not going to find the solution in a pharmaceutical. And that's why I keep saying over and over, the solution is going to be light therapy and sound therapy. So there is a focused sound therapy, focused acoustic therapy that they're experimenting with, using actually the therapy you just had last week in MRI, where they're focusing sound right into the substantia nigra as a treatment. And I think they're getting good results. And my guess is that that will probably become a substitute for deep brain surgery in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years. So I think sound is where it's going to be at, of one type or another, and I think light.
Yeah, I might mention just real quickly, I don't want to take too much of your time, but my wife insisted I go to a self-described shaman. And one of the things that she did was bang a drum for like 10 or 15 minutes. And supposedly the sound of the drum energizes your body and awakens your chakras and that kind of stuff. And I can't say it did me much good, but you could really feel the effect of the drumming through your whole body. So there's definitely, sound can definitely affect your physical being.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful feeling, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, my hearing is pretty good, so it was a little too loud for me, but the effect of the sound on really throughout my whole body was very apparent.
Oh, what a fun and interesting adventure you had. Are you going to do it again?
I'm not sure.
Well, I've interviewed people who do drumming on the radio show, and what they explain is that the reason drumming can be effective, especially if you do it continuously over a period of time, is it opens up the first chakra. That's the chakra that's sort of down there between the legs. And
right.
That's important because it helps grounding. So people who have Parkinson's symptoms typically have a lot of energy circulating around their head, the top of their body. It sort
right.
of seems to be scattered. And so what it does is it sort of evens out the energy field. So instead of being top heavy, it's more evenly spread from the top all the way down to the feet. And the first chakra opens up. And then, of course, the ultimate benefit is that for most people, the symptoms can be somewhat improved. Especially people who might experience tremors.
Yeah. Well, you could definitely feel the vibration enter your body.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to finding out if you decide to continue that another time or two, and if so, what the result is.
Okay.
Well, thanks for letting us know what's up, Bill, and the update, and I have my fingers crossed the MRI will look good and clear.
All right. Well, thank you for your input, Robert. Much appreciated.
Of course, Bill. My pleasure and honor. Hello, Barbara. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we certainly can. So how are you doing?
Okay. Not great, but moving along. I found out I had a bladder infection, so that might be one reason why.
So we have a little echo there in the background, Barbara, but I think you said you have a bladder infection?
Yeah, I don't know. Is this better? You still have an echo?
That's better, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I have a bladder infection, so I can't take antibiotics. I'm trying to cure it with some herbs and things that the doctor gave me.
Oh, good. I understand garlic can be useful for infections. Have you tried that, or did the doctor recommend that?
No. See, are you talking about, like, chewing regular garlic?
Well, there are some supplements that are garlic-oriented that we've taken before that seem to be useful. I don't know exactly what other kind of ingredients they have in them. So what did the doctor give you?
She gave me, I'm taking colloidal silver, D-mannose, and oregano oil.
Oh, great. Well, keep it up. Your body will be able to fight that one way or another. That's what bodies do.
I hope so, because I can't urinate. It's hard to really bad infection, I guess. I just didn't
right,
know.
Right, because it's so inflamed.
Yeah, not good. But the other thing I wanted to mention was that I found a study done by an Italian doctor, Constantini. Have you heard of this?
What did they find?
His name is Constantini. That they have some people get really a lot better from Parkinson's or even have complete remission of symptoms by using high doses of vitamin one thiamine.
Of vitamin which one?
B1.
Thiamine. I have seen a reference to that, yes.
So my doctor ordered the shots, and they should come this week. It's 4 times a week, a shot of 100 milligrams.
Great. Well, we'll get to hear the report next month about how that worked then.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'm just hoping it works for me.
Yeah, me too.
We
and
need
I hope
something
that infection,
to work.
I hope that infection clears quickly too.
So you would do garlic, huh?
Well, yeah, I think garlic can be a bacterial treatment. Maybe at a minimum you could just eat some garlic, you know, and add some garlic to some of the food you're eating. That could certainly do some good.
I kind of think it's a fungal thing.
You've had a terrible problem with fungus, haven't you?
Yes, because of the mold in my house.
Yeah, it probably is that. So it's just your body is still working on getting rid of it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all it's new.
Well, we have our prayers go out to you, and hopefully that infection will be resolved quickly, and we look forward to hearing about the result of the vitamin B1 treatments.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Robin.
Yes, you're welcome, Barbara. Thanks so much for connecting in today. Hello, Trula. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Robert.
Hi there. So what's up with you?
Well, just thoughts, nothing new, practically nothing new with me, but just thoughts and listening to Bill and to Barbara makes me think of some other things. And to you, Robert, I think about, you've said many times, to address Parkinson's symptoms individually, as if they're, each one is something you can deal with instead of trying to think of it as kind of a global disease, which you can't wrap your arms around because it's a complex syndrome.
Right.
So I think that's really important. I want to say to Bill, I've had MRIs before of the brain, and I know that that tube that you have to go in can be claustrophobic, but I don't know if the place where you're getting yours, whether they have a mirror that you can look into when you are inside, shows you the outside of the tube, which makes it easier to cope with it, or if they have music that plays so it kind of relaxes you. For myself, I just close my eyes and pretend I'm taking a nap, and it kind of helps. So the other thing is, there was a rag newspaper called The Globe, and I don't know if any of you saw it, it's a recent one. It has Michael J. Fox on the cover, and it says he's found a new treatment that's curing his Parkinson's. And, you know, like the Inquirer and those kind of rags, it's usually talk about false news or fake news. That's usually it. But and Michael J. Fox was on CNN very recently, and perhaps in dispute of that newspaper, he gave a statement saying that he thinks that his foundation is moving forward with new treatments, but he doesn't see any cure in the near future, at least not in his lifetime. But his hope is that they'll devise some new medications that will be more effective. So I just brought that up because it's really upsets me to see those things on the newsstand.
Oh, isn't that upsetting too?
Yeah, it's very upsetting. It's wrong. It's just plain unethical and wrong.
Yeah, I usually tell people who ask me about a website that says, look, if you'll do my therapy, here's a video that shows somebody that got well. You know, they were sick, they had the therapy, they got well, so they're cured. I always tell people, no.
Yeah.
No, that's a scam. Don't do it. Don't waste your money. Well, they said it's $18,000, and they'll assure me. No. No, I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way. So it sounds like that was the kind of a pitch that they were giving on this rag. Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
Well, I have an even more aggressive conclusion that I've reached after 12 years of looking at this issue of Parkinson's symptoms. The whole idea of using the word cure for me makes no sense at all. What does make sense is to focus on the cause of whatever the symptoms might be. And then once you have a fix on the cause, then you can find therapies that will address the cause. But if you look at just the label of Parkinson's disease, as you just described in the very beginning, it's a global garbage can diagnosis that covers lots and lots of different causes. There's never going to be a cure for all of that. I mean, I'm sorry. It will never happen. And I'm not just talking our lifetimes, but ever. So how do you address the problem of mercury contamination in the body? And isn't that different from the problem of symptoms that are caused by trauma? And the answer is yes. Yes. It's very different. You know, you've got to do different things to address those two different problems. And, of course, the number of causes are so varied and so complicated. We just heard from Barbara about fungus. Well, that's a very unique kind of a challenge, and she's been struggling with that now for a while, as she's been telling us here in the support group meeting. So, you know, the whole idea of a cure, I hope nobody's out there thinking that all of a sudden somebody will have a medicine that's going to fix them, because it's not going to happen.
You know, Robert, in terms of Barbara, I would like to caution her about that urinary tract infection, and that is, keep a close eye on it, and also with a medical doctor, because you can get sepsis with a UTI, and it can be life-threatening, especially for elderly people. So, Barbara, if you're listening and you have a mild case of it, then do what you're doing, but keep a good eye on it, and don't take it for granted. Make sure that you get clear of it as soon as possible.
Oh, I'm sure Barbara appreciates that. Thank you, Trula. Thank you so much.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was people that have other diagnoses, because I know somebody now who's got Parkinson's and rheumatoid arthritis has just been diagnosed, and then another one who has Parkinson's and just diagnosed with leukemia. And it feels like people are getting, you know, double whammy. Have you heard of that very often, that people get more than one major disease?
Well, they have been given labels of their condition.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things to keep in mind is, if a person has been given the label that they have Parkinson's disease, that is the opinion of one medical professional. It doesn't mean that it's true. It just means that that's their opinion, and to prescribe medicines, then they have to give some label of a disease to their condition.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are getting multiple diagnoses, it means that they're going to different specialists, different medical specialists. So if you go to a Lou Gehrig's disease specialist, and you're asking for a diagnosis, well, they're going to be looking for evidence of Lou Gehrig's disease. Or if you go to a physician that's a specialist in leukemia, they'll do all the tests, and they'll be looking for being able to see if they can give a diagnosis of leukemia. I think the reason why people are seeing increasing symptoms is twofold. First of all, it's the electromagnetic pollution in our environment from cell phones. And if you look up in the sky at night, it's incredible the number of satellites up in the sky that are beaming this stuff at us all the time. Drones that are, you know, flying all over the air now. The electromagnetic pollution is really skyrocketing now with people with their cell phones next to their chest continuously. And then second of all, the toxins are also problematic. You combine those two toxic exposures, unfortunately, I think people can see if their elimination organs are not functioning as well as they should. they're going to begin to get sick. And doctors can put whatever label they want to put to the illness they want to. So, yeah, I suspect that we are seeing increasing evidence of illness, more so than 10 years ago. And I think the reason is because of toxic exposure and electromagnetic exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I really have said this over and over, but I really think that for people to get well, it's important for the friends of yours who have these multiple diagnoses. Okay, so they have a choice. Are they going to get treatments both for leukemia and Parkinson's? Well, those treatments are going to attempt to suppress the symptoms. They're not going to look at the cause of the symptoms. So I would encourage people who are experiencing increasing symptoms to look elsewhere for solutions, to look outside the box. And, you know, there are lots of different people out there now that are, instead of interested in suppressing symptoms, they're more interested in figuring out what the cause is, what's out of balance in their body, and then helping that organ or that system to come back into balance. And the people, the medical professionals who typically are specialists in that are the naturopath doctors and the functional medicine doctors. So if you go to a traditional medical doctor, their specialty is to suppress the symptoms. But if a person has two diagnoses or three diagnoses, they're going to have three different specialists that are prescribing different medications to the person. And if they take too many medications, the side effects of the medications is going to make the symptoms even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes an escalating problem for some people where they're trying to get treatments that help their condition as best they can. And, of course, the specialists are doing the best they can to treat the symptoms. And yet, because they're seeing different specialists, they don't know what the other doctors are doing. The person winds up taking too many medicines, and that creates very significant health problems in itself. That's, by the way, what happened to my mother. She was going to all these different specialists and had all these different medications she was taking, and she went downhill pretty quickly.
I believe that. You know, I'd like to comment on Warren and the macrobiotics, if I could. What I understood from him, and maybe you can correct me, Robert, if I don't remember this correctly, he was recommending to eliminate animal products, including eggs and milk, all dairy, eliminate sugars, eliminate tropical fruits because of their high sugar content, which I'm not sure of. I would want to see a glycemic index and see which ones do and which ones don't have that high sugar content. But he said, you know, eat mostly grains and legumes and green and root vegetables, and maybe once in a while some wild-caught salmon.
Yep.
And I want to say, you know, that's basically a vegan diet, except for the once in a while salmon. It's a vegan diet. And I've been doing that for several months now. And it does work. I mean, I feel so much better. And not that long ago, about a week or so ago, I started eating a bit more chicken because I had people over for dinner and I was going to pick something I thought they would like. I was eating more chicken and I could tell within a few days, no, I can't go back to eating animal products. Just can't.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You can. Well, and he was saying that on the show. He was saying if once your body gets adjusted to what it really needs, you don't even want those other things anymore.
That's exactly what he said.
And well, if you do eat them, you don't feel good.
Yep. That's what I remember he said. Mm-hmm. The other interesting comment that he made was that foods attract other foods. So when you begin to eat a lot of meat, then you're attracted to eat more meat.
Right.
If you're eating a lot of vegetables, you're attracted to eat more vegetables. It takes a little time for your body to acclimate.
Mm-hmm.
But the words that he used were foods attract foods.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, I have to say, truly, the other fascinating comment that he made that I want to say I have never heard in all the interviews I've conducted is he basically made the statement that if a person has tremors, the one thing that they can do is to stop eating meat and dairy.
Uh-huh. I agree.
He was linking tremors to that diet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's interesting. And if I were a person that had the challenge of tremors, and if I were eating dairy and meat, boy, I would sure do a big experiment like you have. And I would stop all that cold turkey and just have a vegan diet for 6 weeks or 2 months and see what happened. I've never seen any research specifically that would document that particular assertion. But he's been doing this 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and he's obviously got a lot of observations of his own of what works and doesn't work. And so I took that to heart, and I thought, wow, if he's right, then talking about natural therapies, if a person really has tremors that are truly problematic, it may be changing their diet could really have a huge impact.
Yeah, I don't know specifically about the impact on the tremors, but you just feel healthier and you have more energy. You don't feel as tired, because that's part of the problem, Parkinson's. You get so tired easily.
Right.
But, you know, the advantage of calling it a vegan diet is that you can look around for vegan products. I mean, there's vegan ranch salad dressing, for example, and so you don't have to have milk or the mayonnaise or anything like that in it. Easier to find products if you just look for the, you know, vegan word, or go to a like Whole Foods or one of the other health food stores that that carry those products.
It makes the choice really easy then.
Mm-hmm. It's easier to find it.
Well, I do know that there's extensive research, some of the best studies that have been done, longitudinal, long-term studies that have tracked people over a long period of time. Three studies, thousands and thousands of subjects. What they do is they select a sample of people at one point in time, and then they follow them for 10 or 20 years. And they look to see what factors are associated or predictive of getting Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. So if you select out 10,000 people, then let's say 350 people at the end of 15 years wind up having symptoms of Parkinson's. So what predicts those symptoms? And what all three studies, these are independent, different studies, showed was there was only one predictor that wound up being confirmed across the three studies, and that was dairy.
Yeah. I've seen that too, Robert. I've read that as well.
So it makes sense at a minimum, if a person just can't stop the meat affinity, at least to switch over to some of these substitute dairy products and cut out dairy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I used to think I could eat dairy easily because I'm not lactose intolerant. I'm fine with lactose, but it's not about the lactose. It's about a couple of other enzymes that are in the dairy.
Right. And cattle, they're different mammals from humans. And so it makes sense that our bodies might not be receptive to what comes out of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, truly, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
What I have to talk about today, Robert. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your incredible insights and useful suggestions for what's going on in your life, and also for both Barbara and Bill. It's wonderful to have you here, Trula.
Well, thank you.
Let me check in now with Blair. Hello, Blair. Are you there?
I'm here, Robert.
Hi. So what's up today?
Well, nothing really new.
So not much to talk about, it sounds like.
No.
Well, thank you so much for convening together with all of us. And if any topics or questions come to mind, be sure to pitch them, and we'll cover them here in our next gathering.
Sure will.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here, Blair. I'm going to check in with the questions and answers to see if we've got anything that was submitted in writing. Not yet. And we've got now Betsy. Hello. Wait a minute. Let me click you in. Betsy, are you there?
Yes, I've been listening.
Hi.
Oh, my God. I can't. Hello. Hello, everybody. Oh, my God. Where do you begin? First off, Robert, thank you for introducing me to your naturopath. I sent her my saliva, and I'm also doing some emotional work with her.
Oh, good.
And I don't know if I'm better, but my fingernails are strong. So something's happening.
That's a good sign.
That's a very good sign. I have very weak fingernails. And I don't know if it's the end of the summer, and because my skin is clearing as well. So some skin, which is very rough for me, is skin,
yeah,
is much, much, much better. So, and your suggestion that I look for joy in my life, I am taking to heart. And I'm right now in the woods with my dogs after spending 45 days with FEMA volunteering to help people in Texas.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah.
Find,
yeah,
relief through,
yeah,
Harvey. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm still working full time, and I'm trying to keep my stress level just below the overwhelm, which is right where it's supposed to be, right? That very, very tight walk is not always easy to do, and I always fall into the overwhelm.
Right.
Anyway, I take a lot of medicine, and I'm finally used to Rytary, but I listened to the vegan, the macrobiotic thing.
Uh-huh.
And I am very, very interested in functional medicine, but the only person locally that does it costs a whole lot of money, and you and I have discussed this in together.
Yeah.
That it's, I don't, my, for me, it's not about throwing money, but about the change, the psychic change, because I threw money at my audio chair and haven't used it once that I bought through this program.
Oh, no.
Anyway, oh, yeah, no, it's okay. It's all right. So I hesitate to buy the laser because I'm still in debt, but I know that somebody tried to hook me in a laser here, but it would have been quite expensive. It was the directed laser, and I just couldn't see giving her upfront $7,000. It's just, you know, not going to happen.
Yeah, those are really expensive. I think better just to go to a doctor to see if they can get some relief from the office visits.
Yeah, or else get the diffuse thing that you're talking about with your daughter, getting for your daughter. That makes you smarter.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. So, anyway, what else did I want to say about the, about the functional medicine piece? The only neurologists that are functional medicine, that, well, the only famous one, anyway, is the guy who wrote Grain Brain, and he keeps wanting everybody to go into ketosis. And every time I try to do the, you know, the bulletproof coffee and go into ketosis, I get berserk and my eating disorder kicks in. So, you know, I haven't learned that yet. So when I was in Texas, I spent $600 to buy a product that if that's all I ate, it would put me in ketosis, and I ended up eating chocolate for the rest of the trip. So,
you know,
like,
oh, no.
Betsy, it
backfired, huh?
Yeah, and Ivy said, your naturopath, she said, look at blood, eat right for your blood type. Which, and I had been in a vegan study. I'm still in this vegan study, but I'm in the control group, so I can't eat only vegan until it's over, and it's over in a week. So,
oh, good.
Anyway,
oh, good. So
but I went to a vegan conference, and after the conference, I'm so excited about this whole vegan thing. It's just like, if y'all read Forks Over Knives or whatever, there's some old studies, but it's for people with heart illness, and I don't have heart illness. I have mind illness, so my mind keeps telling me to do ketosis, and my blood type says don't do ketosis. It says do vegan. Believe it or not. Yeah.
Oh.
And so, but so one of the doctors at the conference said, I said, I have Parkinson's, and I bet you dollars over donuts or whatever I said, that this will help with my Parkinson's. He said, no, the studies are for heart. I said, I get that, but I think it will help me. So whoever was just sharing, thank you for that. That was it's really wonderful to hear that you're doing vegan and you're doing well.
Doing well, yes. Wasn't it nice?
Yeah, yeah. Because I had done it for 2 or 3 weeks and then I started feeling guilty because I'm not supposed to, because I'm on this program or in the study. Anyway.
Oh.
It's all good, right?
Yes, that's right.
Because one day at a time, I am approaching the realization that to do it is to just do it. This is the Nike thing, is to just do it. Don't buy it. Don't snarf it. Don't snort it. Don't drink it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just
make that
do
a part
it.
Of your lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
the whole thing. So thank you, Robert.
Oh,
thank
of course.
Thank you, neurologist. Thank you, everybody.
For being able to get you on the right path.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that it's not that Johns Hopkins isn't all bad, but, you know, they don't have the answer, which is why I'm here. And I don't know why you're not right front and center on Michael J. Fox's homepage, you know.
Well, his emphasis is on medications. I mean, they're
yeah, but he seems open enough to maybe, I don't know, because it pays the bills. If you see forks over knives, it's, you know, follow the money.
Yeah. No,
and they're funding him so that's what he's got to say.
And medicines have been somewhat useful to him. But, yeah, his foundation is a pharmaceutical emphasis, and they fund pharmaceutical studies. And so you have to honor that. It's great that they have all those resources they're spending, and hopefully they'll find some pharmaceuticals that will provide some solutions for some people. So I'm glad he's out there doing that. But they're not into looking at other options as I am. So I would never appear on any of their websites at all, because that's just not their emphasis. Their board are people who are, you know, pharmaceutical people, and so they're into the medicine stuff. So.
Mm. Yeah, that's the new Forks Over Knives movie. It's something, what the hell or what the hell?
Yeah. And
what the hell? It's all follow the money, right?
That's right. And so Betsy's mentioned this movie several times. It is a wonderful DVD for all of you to see. It's absolutely compelling. Two researchers who spent their whole lives looking at how can diet affect health. And their reports are overwhelming. If you look at the study evidence that they basically present, it's very clear that the vegan route would be the solution to health and wellness. I actually have to tell you, Betsy, when I saw the DVD a couple of years ago, I emailed each of those researchers, and I invited them to be guests on the show, but I got turned down by each. So
Yeah, okay. Because you're more mainstream now, Robert, believe it or not.
Maybe now if I invited them, they might come in. And, of course, I guess sometimes when I invite people, they don't know exactly who I am or what I do, thinking that, I may be some kind of a trick. And maybe I should see if I can extend the invitation again. But it's a compelling story. I mean, talking about a body of research that is extensive. I mean, we're not talking about just a few studies. They go country after country after country, study after study, studies that they've done, and they all show the same thing. So it's called, for those of you listening, Forks Over Knives. And I guess you just said that they did a new DVD, so that's like maybe...
This one's very cool. And this is the one about the money, Follow the Money.
Oh, Follow the Money, right.
It's called What the Hell. HEALTLTH, and it shows you that, like, the Diabetes Foundation and the Cancer Society and all of that stuff is funded by the Dairy Association, the meat, American meat products, whatever, farmers, agricultural society, all of that, and it's so they don't. So they the diabetic doctor wouldn't say that you have the best diet. Vegan wouldn't say
right.
It's like it's because he couldn't, because that's his bread and butter.
That's right. No,
so,
they can't do that.
Anyway.
That's not their area of specialty.
Right. Anyway, so I'm trying to keep my feet on the ground, but yeah, vegan sounds good to me.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
All right, I'm gonna hang because I'm getting close to the highway and
okay.
My dogs are pulling. Okay. All right.
Betsy, thank you so much for connecting in today.
Sure.
It's wonderful
yes.
to hear from you.
Thank you.
And for the rest of you listening, just a comment about the Warren interview, Warren that I mentioned earlier on macrobiotics. What I want to say is that he made two comments that I think are instructive for what Betsy was just discussing. First of all, he said, I can tell a person's health by simply looking at them, which means that he looks at their skin, for example, or what might be some spots on their hands or their face. And so when we've got some problems on our skin, it means that there are some issues in the internal organs. So if you've got some spots, some bumps, some issues, some rashes anywhere on your body, it means it's just not a skin issue. It's an issue that has something to do with what's going on inside your body. And the second comment that I want to make that he mentioned is fasting creates ketones. And so he says he's always asked the question, oh, should I fast? What about fasting? And he said, look, if you want to fast, just in the morning, and he gave some specific things you could eat in the morning, and then just don't eat lunch, and then have a dinner at 6 o'clock. You fasted throughout the day, and then you've also fasted throughout the night. You might want to try that for 3 or 4 days and see if you feel better. You don't have to take anything specifically for ketones, although it's recommended that you can consider coconut oil, for example, and high-fat foods, which is not going to always be something appropriate for all people. And so the other way to create ketones, which is the natural sugar for your brain, is to fast. And what Warren Kramer was suggesting is, look, make fasting an easy thing. You don't have to say, I'm not going to eat for 4 or 5 days. You basically just good breakfast, no lunch, dinner at 6 o'clock, and don't eat until the next day. And maybe just do that one day every 3 or 4. And that, again, will create ketones in your body. And I do notice when I don't eat for a whole day, I do feel better. So when you basically your body is creating ketones, typically you will notice an increase in your energy as well. And I'm trying to get into the last person who's called in, and that's Claire. But my control panel here is not cooperating. So I want to be able to connect with the last person who's called in for our October support group meeting. But what I've just noticed is my internet connection just got blown. So we have one more person who's called in, and I'd like to always connect in with each person to see what's up. And on the control panel, I could see that there was one more person that had called in. And sometimes on my internet connection here at home, it disconnects for a period of anywhere from 2 or 3 minutes. The reason for that is that I've got some protection here on my computer, and so when people try to hack in, which winds up being about 20 times a day, what they apparently do is they cut my connection, and then they'll restart it back up. So we were connected into the control panel, but for whatever reason, somebody must have been hacking into my computer and my software, then basically just shut it all down. Although I'm talking on the phone, so we're able to continue to talk as well. And unfortunately, I've turned off everybody's line on the control panel, so I can't quite get back into the control panel to be able to open it up and see if anybody has some additional questions. I also can't here yet be able to go in and see if there were any questions that were submitted to be able to open those up for discussion as well. So as you can tell right now, I'm kind of babbling in front of my computer, trying to see if we can get this connection back up and running so that we can just check to see what's up with Claire and also see if there's any other questions that were actually submitted. But unfortunately, we haven't made it happen yet. There's still no internet connection. So it's sort of looking like this must be the conclusion of our session. Clarita or Claire, if you'd like to be able to email me if you had anything you wanted to say or ask, I'll be sure to capture that during our November meeting and be happy to respond to you if you had any specific question as well, since it looks like we're not going to be able to connect in. I'm going to try one more time to see if we can get my little system to wake up and my internet connection to be connected. But it looks like it's not going to happen, everybody. So I'm so sorry. We didn't quite finish off with everybody who's connected in and gathered here to our support group meeting today. But I want to thank each of you who called in. And it's greatly appreciated to hear from you. For me, it makes the work that I do so much richer to know what's working, what's not working. The ideas that you convey about what you're discovering, of course, are folded into who I invite to be guest on the radio show. So it winds up having a profound influence on the directions that I take in terms of trying to provide the information that can help people find ways to reverse the symptoms that they're associated with their own diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. So I thank you for being here, for connecting in. I know many of you are listening to the recording, and I thank you, too, for listening to the recording as well. It means a great deal. So we'll put up the information for our November support group by the end of the day. And don't forget to connect in to each of the member websites. Those are updated every day. We've got a wonderful quote every single day, weekday. We've got a wonderful joke. We've got meditations about how to clear dark energy this entire week that are posted. We've got a exercise that is recommended. We've got a natural food recipe that's recommended. One of my favorite websites is the Mind Work. So Halloween is coming up in the U.S., and we've got a Halloween Mind Work exercise, little 8 or 10 minute exercise that helps to balance the right and left sides of the body. And, of course, I also post a new mindfulness challenge for you each and every day. So you're getting that as well. So you've got lots of resources on the member website. My idea for the member websites is that you can find renewal, especially on days when you're feeling a little low, a little depressed, a little feeling like it's not going to really happen for you. Well, get into the member websites. You'll find there's renewal there. Lots of positive infusion of ideas, fresh perspectives, new visions, ways to clear out whatever might be obstructing your recovery. I'm also working this week on something I mentioned to you last month, on creating an app to send a joke to your Android phone each and every weekday. So this idea that I have is you get the joke and you laugh out loud. When you laugh out loud, your body manufactures dopamine. Get that. It's true, folks. A lot of people think, well, I've got to take medicine or I've got to take a supplement to be able to have an infusion of dopamine. But the best dopamine hit of all is laughter. And so my idea is to create this app so that many people out there can just be reminded every day to laugh out loud. I think that's a way they can decrease medications that they take because their body will be making dopamine naturally. So we're going to be putting that out. I'm supposed to be testing it, but I haven't been able to figure out how to do it yet. So I'm supposed to be testing that on my phone that I just purchased, and we'll be announcing the release of that hopefully in the coming weeks. In order to be able to pay for the incredibly expensive programming that I finally bit the bullet and paid for, we're putting out a high charge of 5 cents a day for each of those jokes. So it's like $1.50 a month that people have to put out. So you spend 5 cents a day to get an incredible rush of dopamine, which is a whole lot better than paying $5 or $6 a day for medicines that do the same thing. So that's the idea that I created, a new program, a new venture, a new possibility that helps people provide support from the symptoms that they're currently experiencing. So I've added a little additional information of what's going to be coming up here this next month on Parkinson's recovery. Thank you, each and every one, for connecting in here to our support group today. And that's what's happening on, you guessed it, the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart. All the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you are a Parkinson's recovery member, that you're connecting in here to our support group sessions each and every month, that you indeed are on the road to recovery. A congratulations to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for joining us today. I look forward to connecting with each of you 1 month from today, the last Monday in November, 12 noon Pacific time. It's been a delight and a pleasure. I look forward to connecting soon. Goodbye.